Welcome to episode 14 of the Printin' and Playin' podcast, the podcast where I'll be discussing board and card games that you can print out and put together yourself and then play with your friends, as well as crafting tips and news related to the hobby. I'm your host, Steve, and in today's episode, Pocket Pro Golf. Hello! Okay, so I didn't have a whole lot of time over the last couple of weeks to tinker with any brand new games, so I decided instead to take this opportunity to revisit one of the titles I've had on the shelf for a little while, and that title today is going to be Pocket Pro Golf. The game consists of a deck of 60 cards, most of which are used to put together to build the various courses in the game, along with several different cards that show examples of 9 courses that you can build for a 9-hole game, or you can put 2 of those cards together to make a full 18-hole game, a card to keep track of wind direction, a score tracking card, 4 cards for each player that indicate the various clubs available in the game and the different characteristics of those clubs, and a few different reference cards. And along with the cards go several different tokens, a whole bunch of kind of generic skill tokens, which are used on those club cards in the game, and 4 small colored marker tokens for each player in different colors, and the game can support up to 4 players. And then lastly, you need 3 six-sided dice for the game. The way the game works is you first grab one of those cards with the 9 course examples, and then for each of the 9 holes, grab the cards needed to make that course and lay those cards down as shown on that reference card. The game gives you a couple of T cards for starting off at the beginning of the course, a pretty good number of straight fairway cards, a few doglegs or turns at various angles, as well as a few different greens to choose from to put at the end of the course. The cards are all set up to have various features such as a fairway down the middle, some rough on the outside, as well as some sand traps and some trees and water features and stuff like that to get your ball caught up. Laid on top of all of these cards is a grid of light circles, which is used to track your ball movement. Once you've got the course for this hole laid out, it's time to place the marker representing your ball on the tee spot, and then prepare to take a swing. Now, the way the golf club swinging and the ball movement works in this game seems kind of unique. Each club you have to choose from is represented on a card, and on each of those cards is a number of circles that represent how many die rolls are taken to determine ball movement after hitting the ball with that club, including how many of those rolls are going to be in the air and how many are going to be on the ground. For example, if you hit off from the tee with your driver, you're going to roll 7 times to determine how far the ball moves. For 3 of those rolls, the ball will be in the air, and for the final 4, it'll be rolling on the ground. Now, before you take your swing, you have to decide if those rolls are all going to be with 1 die, 2 dice, or 3 dice, the difference being that the more dice you use, the farther you're likely to hit the ball, but also the more likely that your ball is going to get caught up by the wind and get moved around. The way the game handles wind is at the start of every hole, you roll a die, and the number of pips that comes up will determine 1 of 6 directions that the wind is going to be blowing in for the entire hole. And where it comes into play is if you roll doubles or triples, the wind is going to grab your ball and move it back and forth a little bit, depending on which direction it's blowing at the time. And this isn't just once per swing. Remember that in the example of the driver, you have to roll the dice 7 times before that ball movement is over for that swing, which means that you've got 7 chances to get doubles or triples if you're using 2 or 3 dice. So depending on how bad your luck is, you could have a lot of trouble with the wind if you're trying to use that many dice in order to get the ball to move farther. Not taking the wind into account, a ball can move anywhere from 1 to 4 spaces for each of those die rolls, depending on how high of a roll you get. On rolls of 0 through 5, it'll only move 1 space. 6 through 10, it'll move 2. 11 through 13, it'll move 3. And if you're lucky enough to get 14 or 15 without getting doubles or triples, you'll get 4 spot movements out of that. And a way the game gives you to combat wind or bad luck in having balls that just go too far or something like that, is any time you roll an 8 and it's not a double or triple, you get to take a skill token and place it on the club that you're using at the time. And what that skill token is used for is, on a future roll, if you ended up with a bad roll and you're going to end up in a sand trap or in the water or off of the course or something like that, you can spend as many skill tokens as you have on that club and remove one die for each skill token that you spend. So, for example, if you rolled two dice and got two sixes, a double, instead of letting the wind catch your ball, you can use a skill token to remove one of those two dice and just end up with a single six instead of the doubles. Now, as far as figuring out what club to use versus how far you need to go, each card has about 10 spots that the ball can travel through, and most courses range anywhere from 3 to 5 cards. So you have to take into account how far you need to go, as well as any hazards that might be in the way and that type of thing. And you have to kind of think what would be best. Would it be best to have my 9 iron, which would give me 2 die rolls worth of movement in the air and then 1 on the ground? Or should I use my 3 iron that'll give me 3 rolls in the air and then 3 rolls on the ground? So it's that kind of thing. You have to kind of get an idea of just how far a club can take that ball while trying to kind of figure for the randomness of the die rolls as well. For the most part, the club selection is completely up to you unless your ball lands on the green, at which point you have to use a putter. And the putter gives you 1 roll of the dice, although you can still choose 1, 2, or 3 dice, depending on how hard you want to swing. The final hole is in the middle of 4 of the movement markers on the card, and you have to drop the ball into the hole by exact count. So what that means is if your ball is at any of those 4 spots around the hole, and you have exactly 1 movement point left on your die roll, and it's the last die roll of your swing, your ball goes in the hole, and you're done for that hole. Now, as far as scoring goes, on that reference card with the 9 different hole layouts, under each one it shows what the par for that hole is, par being the number of swings that you're trying to beat in order to get the ball into the hole. So, for example, if it's a par 4 hole, and it took you 4 swings to get the ball in there, you're right at par. Once each player has gotten their ball into the hole and determined where they're at in comparison to the par for the hole, they then take one of their markers and then place it on the scorecard, either on the even slot if they got right at par, or if they didn't make par, they'll place it on one of the different spots, either positive or negative to par. So if it's a par 4 course and you actually manage to get the ball into the hole with only 3 swings, you're at negative 1. This is adjusted for each of the holes played during the game, and finally, at the end of the game, the player with the lowest score wins. And, of course, this game can also be played as a single-player game just by keeping track of your score and trying to do better each time. Thoughts on Pocket Pro Golf? I'll throw out there first, I am not a golfer. I do own a set of clubs and have gone to the driving range several times, but I'm just so awful at it that I never considered myself good enough to graduate to an actual golf course. I did, though, go through a phase where I was pretty taken with those computer and video golf games, almost all of which used a similar mechanism where it kind of simplified the game down to a couple of button pushes, usually. Most of the time it just gives you this graph and you have to hit a button to start your swing, let a needle or a bar move to a certain point, at which point it starts swinging back, and then you have to hit the button again at a precise spot in order to try to get an accurate shot. I found this game to be kind of similar in that, although there's no button pushing, I thought it still did a good job of simplifying the way golf works down to a system where there were only a few steps to remember, but while still keeping some of the feeling that you are actually playing a golf game. The game gives you a pretty large selection of golf course layouts that you can choose from, and almost all of the cards feature different course features or hazards that you have to work through, so you can just kind of do a random draw every time you create one of the hole courses in order to get a little bit of a different feel every time. And although I'm not sure anybody would actually do this, they also give you the ability through sort of a conversion chart where if you'd like to take an actual real-life golf course that you like and convert it over to the game, there's a card that kind of shows you how to take the dimensions and length of the actual course and how to convert it over into the cards in order to make one yourself. I have to say I do enjoy playing this game, although it's not perfect. A couple of drawbacks that I'd have to point out is one is that the game is just really long for what you get out of it. The last time I played as a refresher, I didn't exactly time myself, but I would say for a 9-hole game, it probably took me a little over an hour. And that was just as a one-player game, so if you've got multiple players, you can probably multiply that time for each player. And that's really kind of tied into the number two thing I'm not so sure I love about the game, which is the constant dice rolling. When you have to roll the dice up to 7 times for each swing, that time kind of adds up. And as another negative, when you're moving the ball at increments of a couple of spots a time, even if there's a total of 7 movements, you never really get the feel of hitting that long drive. I mean, yeah, at the end of a swing, your ball may be halfway down the course, but to get there, you have to roll the dice, move a couple spots, roll the dice, move a couple spots, roll the dice, move a couple spots. You get what I mean. But still, even considering all that, I enjoyed playing it. And although I think the game might be a hard sell for anybody that has zero interest in golf whatsoever, as an example, I couldn't get my wife to come anywhere near this thing. If you have any interest in golf, playing golf, or even had some fun with the video game versions, and even better if you have friends who have done the same that you can get onto the game as well, go ahead and give the game a try. I think you'll probably like it. Thanks for listening to the Printin' and Playin' Podcast. I'd love to get your feedback, ideas, and suggestions for the podcast, so please feel free to share. Send me an email at printinpodcast@gmail.com, remembering that there's no G in the printin' in this case. Or if you're a BoardGameGeek.com member, you can send geek mail to me at my username ShadowGlare, which is Shadow and Glare together, but hold the W. Or leave a comment on the blog's webpage at printin-and-playin.podomatic.com.